Good evening. I wasn't quite sure actually what to talk about tonight because this morning I looked at the program, I saw Sanjaya on talking Mahabharata. I thought, oh, well, anyway. What I've been thinking about for some time actually was the period after the battle. There's a blood and thunder, 18 days of it, and all the negotiations and so forth that led up to it, and all the chicanery and what have you. Of course, when it was over, the 18 days was over, the Yudhishthira said to Krishna, in other words, he said, you know, I paraphrase, would you go and do the talking? Because they were very concerned. All Dhritarashtra's, the old blind king's sons, have been killed. There's enormous devastation of all the loved ones on the Kaurava side and the Pandava side. And without doubt, Yudhishthira thought, in fact, that we're going to be cursed. And he wanted Krishna to sweet talk his way in to the court of Dhritarashtra to try and avoid that, which of course he did. And we really fast forward something like 15 years. Right from the start, Yudhishthira was insistent that the old blind king was the king. He stayed the king. He stayed in his palace, and he had the authority that he had before. And there's going to be respect for him, like it or not. And that went on really quite successfully for, we come forward to something like 15 years. And the king, he got into his routine. He got up in the morning. He did his oblations and the routine of the day, and they made the decisions, and Yudhishthira would beat him. Pandavas would go to him. They'd sit by him. They'd talk by him and so forth. The one big problem, of course, was Bhima. Bhima just couldn't get over the fact the suffering that they'd had at the hand of the Kauravas. And quite often, unbeknownst to Yudhishthira, in the halls of the palace and what happened, Bhima would, little sharp remarks. One particular one he did was that hurt the old king terribly. With his friends, Bhima would say, with these arms, these strong arms, I killed those 100 sons of Dhritarashtra, just like that, in the hearing of the old king. So, if you like, the sadness burnt within them in spite of Yudhishthira's efforts to try and stop it. We did not stop it, not allow it. In fact, no one spoke ill of the old king or of Duryodhana because they knew that would anger Yudhishthira. Well, after about 15 years or so, the king really was very much at ease with the Pandavas. He was their father, and they looked upon him as a father. And there was a very close relationship, unfortunately, except for Bhima. But then he became a little bit too much, and as it was written, he was cheerless, and there's emptiness within his heart, and of Gandhara is his blind. Well, remember, she bandaged her eyes, Gandhara did his wife. And he came to Yudhishthira and said, I've really decided that I want to go to the forest for my remaining days. And he said, unbeknown to you, and I was frightened to tell you, that really for some time now, I've been entering into austerities. I've been in the evening and afternoons not eating, doing all sorts of austerities, repetition, chantings, and so forth, taking off my clothes, putting on bark, putting kusa grass on the ground, and going into fairly intense austerities. But that Yudhishthira got very upset because he was very, very fond of him. And as far as he was concerned, it was his father and he was due the actual obeisance and all the respect that the father should have. He said, I can't give you permission. I'm not giving you permission for this. And the old king said, well, I have to go. I feel that my time has come. There are so many things I have to try and achieve spiritually to try and absolve myself of all the sins that I've had in the past. And Yudhishthira said, well, it's a compromise. I will come with you. Because remember, Yudhishthira was very Brahminic. He was very orientated around the spiritual side, the involvement of the Brahmin's life. And we could put Yuyutsu in charge. Remember, he was the one son of the old king who lived, and he was born under a vaisya woman, a servant woman, but he was the son of the old king, and he cross-eyed. Remember, Yudhishthira went out into the middle just before the battle and said, anyone wants to join us, come to us now, and Yuyutsu was the only one who went over and joined the Pandavas. And so Yudhishthira said, Yudhishthira, he can look after the whole lot, and we'll leave Daumya, the priest, here. The king said, the brothers said, that's ridiculous, of course you can't. You're a king, you're a kshatriya, and you should stay here. And while they were going on like this, Kunti, the mother of the Pandavas, slipped by. She went and said, I'm joining them, you see. And she got hold of Gandhara's arm. And Yudhishthira said, well, you're not doing this. You're our mother. You stay here. We need you. It was you that sustained us during those 13 years in the forest. And she said, I sustained you and I gave you those words of encouragement because you're Kshatriyas. You've got to do it. Now you're on your own. You can do it quite comfortably. Anyway, as often in these cases, Vyasa suddenly appeared, the father of the old king, the great sage, and it was. He said, it is the right thing to do. I'm very proud of you, my son. Remember, the old king was the son of Vyasa, and I'm proud of the progress and your austerities and the penances you've done, and certainly you may go. So we'll skip a little bit further forward. There's a lot of detail, and there's quite a sweet situation where the old king was trying to plead with Yudhishthira at this point, saying, I really need to go, whatever. And he sat down, and his head went over onto Gandhara's head. I said, I'm exhausted. I can't talk anymore. So Yudhishthira got his hand, at the time, got his hand, and it was bejeweled, lots of jewels on it. And they had these little, I suppose it's like an ampule, doctors know, like them, little, rather like a mini pill box of gold around his fingers, and inside those were medicinal herbs, and he rubbed the old king's forehead and his chest and things like that. And the king said, well, even the rubbing of that lifts me. You're not only the righteousness, what we would say, your righteousness, your consciousness, but actually everything, just your presence lifts me. You've been kinder to me than Duryodhana was as a son. Anyway, to go a little bit further forward, it was agreed that he would leave and that, in fact, the whole of Hastinapura, the city of the elephant, the capital city of the Kuru race now, would actually... he would go out, the blind king would, but he asked, he got permission from Yudhishthira, he got permission from Vyasa, but he wanted to actually go and get permission from the people. So he went into the marketplace, they were all summoned, those who could go there and what have you. And he said to them, you know, I'm very sorry what has happened. What if you feel is my part, my son. These are like darts in my heart. The loss and the awful time that you've had with all your loved ones that have lost. And I apologize for that. And it's quite sweet. They said to him, they got together. They said, well, we'll have this Brahman reply on our behalf. And the Brahmin said, we've actually appreciated you, we loved you, you've ruled us like a father, and as such, you know, we will certainly accept that. And even as far as your son is concerned, and this I had to put right down, I can hardly believe it, he said, your son is absolved with his righteous soul son, is completely absolved. In other words, he's saying that, in fact, Duryodhana had no cause to think, the old king had no cause to think that his son, Duryodhana, had any real responsibility for the Great War. He said it is, and I'm sure you recognize this word, it is destiny. Remember the old king when Sanjaya came back day after day reporting the losses of this and losses of that, and saying, King, because of your actions, your evil actions, this has happened. The old king would say, oh, no, it's destiny. Anyway, now it's come back, it's destiny. And just a matter of a little bit further forward, when Yudhishthira, who went to heaven eventually in his normal human state because he's so righteous, and there in heaven he saw Duryodhana hobnobbing with the deities and the gods, enjoying himself, conviviality, nothing like that. He said, this is heaven, I'm not having it. And he said this to his father Indra. He said, take me to where my brothers are, if they're down below anywhere, I'm not coming here. So he didn't quite have the same opinion. And also, if you remember, Krishna came for his last negotiations at the Matsyas. It was the last chance to try and overcome, to try and have peace. And he went in, he flattered them. Remember the four aspects? What was it? Flattery, bribery, threats, and retribution. The four aspects of negotiation. He got to the one, actually, of threats with the old blind king. And he said, it's your fault that this is happening. Entirely this war, you could have stopped it. He'd been nice and sweet. And he said, you could have bound Duryodhana, put him in prison, and then this wouldn't have happened. So you could say there's a difference of opinion there. Anyway, it was agreed that he would go and to the forest with Gandhari and Kunti. Kunti was quite firm about this. She wanted to go, and she wanted herself to purify herself and so on. So they left, lots of tears and things like this. And there was a lot of cheerlessness for quite a while. The months went by, and it was like a depression took over the Pandavas and those in high office. Remember, the jobs had been given out. Arjuna was in charge of the army. Bhima was in charge of the boundaries, enormous empire they had, securing the boundaries. Sanjaya had a good job, finance minister. Sahadeva, he was the personal assistant to Yudhishthira. Remember, Yudhishthira, the eldest son, was like a father to them all. Anyway, they were not doing their jobs properly. They weren't really concentrating. There was this unhappiness. There's no focus at all. And so it came up with the idea that, in fact, they would go and visit the old king. And so it was all agreed. It was a big, big, major movement out of the city. Oh, there were hundreds and hundreds of palanquins, you know, to carry the court women. The army was amassed. All the cooks, all the mechanical people who looked after the chariots that broke down. It was a vast exit towards the retreat where the old blind king was. They went very slowly. Well, he started 5 days late. Yudhishthira said, let's wait 5 days. He got his men to go forward and build buildings and things, rest houses, as they went that they could go off into. And so they moved out after 5 days. They went towards Kurukshetra. The retreat was just beyond the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and eventually got there. And they sighted the blind king. He was down by the water, actually collecting water with Gandhari. Remember, he was blind, Gandhari was blind, and Kunti was the only one who actually could have sight. So it's a bit sad. When they left, those three left for the retreat, you had Kunti at the front, you had Gandhari behind, a hand on her shoulder, and then the blind old king with his hand on her shoulder. And they had Vidura went, Sanjaya went really to help them, and obviously help us within the retreat. Well, they came to the retreat, and there was lots of tears and all obeisance and a very great joy amongst the old king and the Pandavas. They gathered round together. There's a lot of rishis that are quite because it was known that this great outing was happening. So quite a lot of the holy men, the big shot holy men, had arrived there, and they were sitting down as well. So everyone sat down. And Sanjaya had to do the introductions, and he said, "Well, this is Bhima, so and so strong. I'm in a very flowery language." When he got to Draupadi, he lost points, I think. He said, "And this seemingly middle-aged lady is Draupadi." Well, there we are. So they were all introduced, and they were as to who they were and what have you. And then Vyasa appeared, and Vyasa said, "I'm very pleased with you, my son, for the penances and the austerities and what you've achieved through these. I'm mindful of giving you a boon. I will illustrate to you and to these rishis here," the rishis, these big shot spiritual people, looked up to Vyasa, enormous powers, enormous wisdom that he'd assimilated over years and years and years. He said, "I will show you the result of my years and years of penances in the boon. I can read into your heart, but tell me, my son, what would you like?" And poor old the old blind king, he waffled on. Actually, the interesting thing was, he did a bit of what I call a bhishma. Before he left, he said, "Oh, king, you must do this, that, and the other, what have you." And he's perfectly good. You know, he'd only said a few sentences a bit earlier and went all tired. Anyway, he talked now, saying, "Oh, I'm very sad, and this and that, and how sad my empty my life is, and what have you." Gandhari quickly got in and said, "It is in our hearts, it is in the hearts of Draupadi, and it's in the hearts of, is the loss of our sons. It really burns within ourselves. We can't shake it off. For 15, 16 years now, this thing has caught every day. Even Dhritarashtra can't sleep at nights for the torture, inner torture, of the great loss, not only of the sons, of the families immediately, but actually of the kingdoms and people." Think about it. The Matsya, that was the kingdom where the Pandavas actually had the 13th year. The Panchala, vast, very, very powerful kingdom to the south east of the Kurus, virtually decimated the menfolk, you know, the army. Remember, it was a battle of last man standing. It wasn't a land-grabbing battle. It was a man last man standing. So they were decimated. Very, you know, the population had been completely diminished. Anyway, Gandhi went through, really, how awful it had been, how really heart-tearing it had been for them. And she asked that they be able to see their sons again. And so Vyasa said, I will arrange this. He said, through the powers of my penances, I will show you just what can be achieved. And this was coming into the evening time. And he said, tomorrow morning, go to the banks of the Bhagirathi, the Ganges, and wait there, and you'll see your loved ones. And so that night you had the Pandavas and the old king. They sort of slept on the ground in a certain area, and the court people around him, Gandhari and the women folk were there, and the townsfolk, a lot of townsfolk, they all sort of filled in around, and they were there all together about a month. And the food, you know, getting food is quite difficult. When they originally arrived, the old king offered them, you know, shoots and things like that. But they had to actually cater for an enormous amount. Anyway, back to where we are, where they've gone to sleep. They sleep at night. In the morning, they do their ablutions, and the holy fires are fed, and so forth, the religious routine. And then the Vyasa himself went into the Ganges, the Bhagirathi, up to his knees, and he said, all of you go to the banks, find your ways, and sit along the banks of the Bhagirathi. And again, Yudhishthira went with the Pandavas, the old king. They chose a place that they thought was well positioned to see what was to be seen, and the women folk did the same, and the townsfolk. They all fitted along the actual banks of the Ganges there. And every minute seemed like a year. As they waited, fixed-eyed as to what was going to happen. As dusk came, there was an enormous uproar. It was just the noise that you got at the beginning of the battle. And the whole place reverberated. All the hair went up on end. All the people looking there looked staring ahead like this. And out of the waters, coming initially, was Bhishma and Drona. And then everywhere you could see, the whole water was breaking up as the soldiers and men came out. The thing was that they were all in their celestial vestments, very bright earrings they were wearing, and they'd gone to what you might call the clearing house before they go into the heaven. And there's no animosity, there's no cynicism, there's anger, so there's conviviality amongst all the troops coming out, and that the clothes, the vestments, they all had the garlands around them. They had the same weapons as they went in. But it was that atmosphere of friendship, conviviality, and so forth. And everywhere they were coming up, the whole of the actual Ganges are not there. And as they came out of the waters, you got, for instance, Karna came out and he met up with the Pandavas, reconciled themselves. That were the Abhimanyu, remember the darling of Krishna's sister's son, the Pandavas' nephew, the five Pandava sons that came out. All those wonderful warriors who'd lost their lives, here they were in front of everywhere, mingling, in fact. They had their celestial clothing on, but they were just as they were before with the others. And so throughout the whole of the night, they actually will be able to be joined again with their loved ones. And as the morning came, Vyasa explained, well, it would now have to finish their meeting. And as they slowly retreated, with a twinkling of an eye, just like that, they all disappeared. Absolutely all disappeared. The illusion disappeared. But Vyasa hadn't finished. He said, now, all those virtuous wives, those wives who are missing their husbands, if they leap into the Bhagirathi now, they may join their husbands in the levels that they will be at, they're returning to. And so quite a lot of the women dashed into the water, had faith entirely in his words. And so after that, there was great joy amongst the king, there was great joy amongst the Pandavas. But after a day or two, after it had settled down, the excitement and the joy of it, once more, the Yudhishthira and the Pandavas returned. But there was still, unfortunately, that emptiness within them. And of course, the story of them going to heaven was shortly to come about, but perhaps that'll be for another time. Thank you.